Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a wonderful show lined up for you today, and as always, we kind of get you caught up on the past week. That was for Tony and I. And Tony, why don't you start this week? I know it was pretty busy for me, but I'm going to give you the floor to kind of open the show here.
Sure. Well, just more of the same, I guess, more on a personal note, getting my son ready for a trip to visit his grandparents with his dad for the holidays. That's always when you got a little one, it takes a lot of planning. And so getting ready. And I've been doing a lot of work with people on getting prepped for the holidays. You know, it's a fun time for a lot of people, but it's also a hard time of the year. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people who maybe don't have the traditional holiday experience but kind of expect that can feel down about, you know, their holidays, because maybe it doesn't, you know, their holiday isn't the traditional type of holiday. And so I've been working with people on, you know, preparing for the holidays and being in a good space about, you know, what their holiday is like. How about you?
Outstanding. Well, you know, I've been working on some Team Winfrey things for the holidays as we get set for Giving Tuesday, which is November 28th across the country, across the globe. It's a day of giving, and so we're working on a campaign to let folks know how they can donate and help be a part of that. Each year during the holidays, I play Santa and I go out in the community and give out gifts and try to brighten a family or an individual's day. You know, it's funny that you said, you know, slow down during the holidays. I go through that. It's a pretty tough time for me. And it's been that way for a while. I don't know if it's because, you know, my family is back home in Georgia, and, you know, I miss them, you know, terribly during this time of year. That has a lot to do with it, I'm sure. So I've been working on that, in the gym, working on my golf game, or my body to get ready for my golf season next year. My elbow's still giving me a little bit of trouble. There's still a little bit of pain that I have to deal with, but I'm getting my stamina back, and you know, I won't be able to go out and hit shots until maybe mid-December, but all signs are pointing toward being able to do that. So I'm excited to finally get out and start working on some things to get ready for next year. This past Tuesday, my dad passed away the year before, and that day was spent really reflecting on him and what he meant to me and my sister and my mom. And so it's been quite an emotional week as I try to transition into the weekend and get some other things accomplished. I can't complain. You know, things are on the up. The family's doing really well, and you know, I'm excited about the direction that I am heading in as we close out the year strong. So pretty busy, but I'm glad to be here doing the show today, and I'm excited for the guests that we have. I know that you were out and about, and you talked to me about our guest, and I'm excited to have her on. So without further ado, I'll let you go ahead and do the intro.
Yes, I'm really pleased to have Kathleen Rogers with us as well. Kathleen is a person who has a lot of years of social work experience. She, I know, has had experience working in the field of addictions, and she's worked with youth. And right now, she's working on a really phenomenal project based on the fact that, and I'll let her tell more of the story, but based on the fact that there is a huge community need for what she has to offer, and that's employment preparation for young adults on the autism spectrum. We're really pleased to have her providing this service in the community for people because it is desperately needed. And I'm really excited to report they've had a lot of good success in getting people into volunteer positions and getting them employed. And so with that, Kathleen, welcome. We're really happy to have you here.
And, well, thank you. I'm so pleased to be invited.
I love your story about how Synergy Supportive Services got started. Could you just briefly tell the listeners why you ended up following this path?
Oh, I'm more than glad to. Well, I have a nephew. He's autistic. And at the time, he currently lived with my mother, and I didn't know if he was going to have to come in and stay with me. So I thought, well, I need to find out what kind of services are available here in South Carolina for someone on the autism spectrum. So I started getting out in the community, and I ended up at a conference I held at one of the churches, and I went to the breakout session for women who had young adults, children. And what struck me most when I walked in the room was how angry these women were. And then I soon realized that I wasn't looking at anger, I was looking at fear. And what they talked about was that once their child became 21 years of age, they called it dropping off the cliff because services just didn't exist, just was not available. And the fear that I was seeing was, what's going to happen to my child? How will my child take care of themselves? So if I'm not around, what is there for my child? And they were truly, truly, experiencing anger. But being the person that I am, I thought, well, let me research this a little bit more. Am I just dealing with one group of emotional women, or is this really, an issue? So I did submit a grant to one of the state organizations to deal with disabilities. And I submitted the grant saying that I wanted to provide employment preparation for young adults on the autism spectrum. Well, they denied my grant. They told me that if I focused on high school, they would reconsider the grant, but they weren't interested in funding for young adults. So I took that as validation that that what they were telling me was really what was going on out there. And so from there I thought, well, let me find out what I can possibly do. And I was able to meet Jane Vaughn, who's my partner in crime. They've labeled us two women with a plan. We kind of laugh at that. But she has an adult son as well who's on the spectrum. And so we joined forces. And then we just decided, well, instead of complaining about what doesn't exist, what can we do to begin to offer some kind of service here in the Lowcountry? So that's kind of how Synergy got started.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So tell us where it is now.
We're so excited. Well, we're starting our fourth year. Next year will be our fourth year that we've been in existence. And in the beginning, we did a pilot. And our pilot included young adults on the spectrum, as well as some parents who had adult children. And we had a few students from the College of Charleston. And we all sat down and said, okay, let's figure out what could this program possibly look like. We knew that a traditional model would not for our clientele, but we weren't sure what would work. And I remember I went up to the whiteboard and I put a dot in the middle of the board and I said, that dot represents what we know and the rest of that is what we don't know. So we need to start to figure it out. So it was a year process, and our young adults on the spectrum had a lot of input. They had as much say-so as everyone else at the table. And from that, we developed our model, which involves three levels. Our first level, we deal with life skills, because basically you have to have that in place if you're going to function in the workplace. So we deal with life skills. And then from that, we look at social skills as it relates in your personal life as well as in the workplace. And we look at basic behavioral type of issues. And once they get past level two, then we move to employment. And generally, we'll start off with a volunteer position or an internship, because in order to give guidance and support in terms of actually working, we need to have them working in some capacity. And then hopefully it will turn into some kind of employment. We have two tracks. Our one track, track one, are for our younger clients, and they're usually between the ages of 18 and 23. And generally they're coming out of high school. They may or may not have had any kind of work experience, and they're a little bit more, you know, not as mature as our older clients. And so that's a very intense program. It's 2 years in length. And then our second track is a track one, and that's for our track two, rather. That's for our older clients. They tend to be 25 and older. They may have had some work experience. Many of them have had some college courses. And a lot of them have already had like an entry-level position, but they're ready for more meaningful employment. So that's not as intense as the first track. But we've been really pleased. We keep our numbers down to 6 to 8 clients, and I'm really pleased to report that everybody's employed.
Yay!
Yeah, I know. They're all employed. It's like, wonderful. Wow, everybody's employed. One of our people actually has a full-time job with full benefits. The others are working part-time. So we are now looking for new clients because, you know, our current clients are all employed.
It's one of the things I like about what you did was you, and Eli and I talk about this often, you did not go in there saying you were the expert and you knew. You came with an open mind and you asked the young adults what was going to work for them, and they really shaped a significant amount of the direction your program goes. And I think that that's a large part of why you're having the success that you are now, because you've listened to, you know, what folks have to say, and that's really, really important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's been a key part. I mean, I have to admit, you know, Jane and I have sat down and come up with this awesome plan that we thought was just so good, and we've gone in and presented to our group of autistic young adults, and, like, we're so excited because we think it's so good, so cool. And they look at us and just shoot it down and say, no way, you know, that's not going to work. For these reasons, and you need to do it this way instead of that way. And we're like, we thought it was so brilliant. It's like, no, it's not. But yes, you're right. That has played a big role in the success of our program, because we've listened to them on every step of the way. And we also recognize that just because they have the diagnosis of autism, they're not all the same. And so we do our action plans based on the individual, and we work with them based on their individual needs.
I love it. You know, the one thing that you mentioned earlier, where you said it, you walked in and it was fear. You know, I sense that a lot when I interact and talk with parents who have kids on the spectrum that are graduating, and then it feels like, well, that's it. You know, there's nothing else that we could be helped on, or where does my child go after this? To get services. You know, I know personally I've dealt with a few individuals that have gone through that, and it is extremely tough on them, because it feels like they've been thrown to the wolves and they're eaten up, and it's tough. So to hear this program and to hear about you and the success that you're having there speaks volumes about services that are out there that we can recommend individuals and families to.
Well, thank you for that. I'm glad you're supporting where we're going with it. And I also like to add that we're pro higher education. You know, all of us have our degrees and all of us are professionals, so we're definitely pro education. However, I think that we lack the reality that college is not for everybody. And for many of our young adults on the spectrum, they may finish high school with a certificate instead of a diploma. And even if they get into the programs they offer at the college level, a lot of times they don't walk away, you know, with a degree. What we do is say, let's figure out where your talents are, what your interests are, what you are actually capable of doing, And then we support taking Pacific College classes for whatever that skill happens to be. Plus, that just makes more sense. And that way it enhances their skill and their ability as it relates to being in the workforce.
Kathleen, I think that's really important, is really it's going back to making it individualized. And one of the things that I know that we've discovered and you've discovered with some of your individuals, you wouldn't think of sales or modeling or that type of being in the public eye as the traditional type of careers that would be of interest to folks on the spectrum if you were to just go and be stereotypical about things. But you've actually had people who are in the program who have an interest in sales. And so I just love that you aren't shut off to exploring those ideas with people.
No, well, like I said, they're so different. No, that's one of our guys, he's marketing is his thing. We were at a conference and we were one of the vendors and there were about 30 other vendors there. And I said to him, I need you to go around to each one of those vendors and I need you to introduce yourself, tell them about us and you get information about who they are. He was on it. He was on.
I mean, I see that young man. And he's 1,000 times better than me at it.
I'm able to have him around. Yeah.
I mean,
that's the thing. He can, he has no problem, doing that, and he's good at it. So you're right. Most people wouldn't think to put somebody in the marketing department who's on the spectrum, but that's his niche. He's very good at that.
I love it. And that goes back to, placing individuals in a box. Sometimes society thinks, well, they're that way, so let's not see if they can expand. Let's not see if they know much of anything else. Let's keep them boxed up. So it's good that like I said, you're doing what you're doing, because they have so much to offer, and I love seeing the growth.
Well, you're absolutely right. We have found that if we just say the person is on the autism spectrum, what we have found is people immediately think of them as being extremely low functioning, extremely limited. They aren't open to, like, let me introduce you to this person. And once I actually get them to meet the individual, it's like they're shocked. Oh, I would never have thought that person had autism. Well, that's the point. Don't prejudge. Want to meet them first. See what they can do.
Yeah, we're doing. I actually have talked with some other professionals across the country lately, and we're dealing a lot with a lot of prejudice for those autistic students who are actually wanting to go through and get their higher degree. There's a lot of preconceived notions about what an autistic person can or can't do. And so we've got young adults out there who really do have the skills and the abilities to offer something in the field that they've chosen to get a degree in, but the system is really challenging for them because people are putting them in a box. So there's a lot of work to be done with that, and organizations like Synergy are, out there to, help make that better, to change that.
Thank you. We're doing our best, and so far we've been quite successful with the, I keep saying young men, but we actually have two females who are also in our program. And I want to say, my female, she graduated from the College of Charleston with a degree in business, and she's extremely good in accounting. And the first place we tried to get her employed, they just saw that she was autistic, and they just assumed she couldn't do the job, and they didn't even give her a fair interview, which I found disheartening. But I am pleased to say that she now is working with a business owner, and she's the assistant to the CEO, and she's in charge of their accounting books. So,
wow.
Great success story.
Yeah. Wow, outstanding. Oh, my goodness.
And that
leads me to an – I didn't mean to cut you off there, Tony.
I was just going to say,
Kathleen, have you gone through any pushback, whether it was getting started or some point doing this, have you received any pushback from anyone saying that this isn't a good idea or maybe you should go about it this way?
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of that in the beginning. But we just ignored them. We just ignored them. I mean, we knew where we wanted to go, and we had full faith in our clients. And, I got a lot of that. It was like they couldn't do that, or it was like they could be a dishwasher, stuff like that. We got a lot of that, but we just ignored them. And we listened to what our clients had to say, and we just pushed forward. We just kept going. We weren't going to be deterred.
There you go.
Which I think. Thanks for asking that question, Eli, because it actually ties in really well with what I wanted to talk about too. And for those family members out there who are caring for a loved one on the spectrum, I think this is really encouraging because. Part of it is, not giving up and knowing what you know and not listening to those naysayers who, quite frankly, don't know what they're talking about and really pushing forward and keeping that open mind. There is really good potential and possibility when you find the right fit for a job, for somebody who, has the right skills and it's, the right understanding environment. For those people, like for the young woman who wasn't given the chance because they were prejudiced against her for being autistic, she's in a better place now anyway. So those those closed doors can be signs that that's not the right fit. That's not the group or the supervisor or the company that's really going to help a person on the spectrum shine. And there are lots of companies out there now that are really beginning to value difference and use it to be beneficial for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Well said. And we need more wonderful people like Kathleen on the front lines, doing what you're doing. It makes me proud. It inspires me to continue to advocate as hard as I do for individuals and families on the spectrum. I really appreciate all the hard work. And as I tell Tony and others in the community, I'm still learning. I don't know everything, but listening gives me ideas and ways to form relationships with parents and then with companies to get the services for these individuals that they need. Because, when you see the growth, it opens doors and it opens up minds and we become less prejudiced and we think outside of the box instead of, staying inside the box or in the corner. So I just really appreciate all that you're doing to help others in the community. It doesn't go unnoticed. I hope you know that. It fuels me, I guess, when I hear these stories and I see people doing great work, because, I think if we can focus on that a little more as opposed to everything else in the world that's negative, we can start to build and heal, relationships. So I really appreciate you.
Well, I do want to say we have openings for 3 new clients if people are interested. Our process is that we initially, there's an application, and then we have an assessment because we have to make sure that they are functioning enough that employment is a realistic, objective. And then we bring them into the program. So can I give my phone number? Is that okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. He would ask for it if you didn't give it.
Okay. Well, it's 843-452-4508. And we are currently looking for 3 new clients, and they have to be between the ages of 18 and 35.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Now, is there a website that they could go to if they're seeking you out online?
Yeah, Synergy Supportive Services. .com.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, listen, it was great having you on the show today. I am blessed many times over when Tony reaches out and she kind of, you know, dips in the community and she pulls out awesome individuals to come on this show. And this is what we're all about. And Kathleen, this is your platform. So whenever you want to come back on the show and you have something to promote or something you want to talk about or something you want to get off your chest, yeah, you're more than welcome to do that. Tony and I would love to just sit quietly and let you address the listeners. This is your platform. So we are very grateful to have you on.
Well, thank you for the offer, and I assure you I will take you up on it.
She will, too.
Outstanding.
She's a doer.
Outstanding. I love it. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend, and we look forward to hearing from you again very soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Outstanding. You know, Tony, it blows me away, you know. You and the folks that you know in the community who they're doing amazing things. And, gosh, sometimes I'm at a loss for words. It just does my heart good when I hear these type of stories, because there are a lot of individuals out there who are struggling, you know, finding services. Or as Kathleen said, they're in fear. Or what's next for their child, and so for Kathleen, for you to find Kathleen and have her on the show today, I think it's really gonna open some of these, you know, families up to reaching out.
I think it's really, you know, it's really, there are lots of people in our communities that are like Kathleen, that really have their heart in the right, you know, place and want to do something to help make the world a better place. And really at this point, it's connecting those people who are open and receptive and need the help with those people like Kathleen who are out there and want to be a support. And they are out there. It's just really, I think the challenge is connecting people who want the help with those people who are able to give it. And that's something we're really, you know, in our communities really struggling and working hard to do. But, you know, Kathleen's one of those people who we always talk about, just do it. And she's one of those people, as you can see, you know, she didn't wait around for another grant to come. She recognized, you know, these moms are right. They're not even willing to consider a grant for somebody who's older. This is a need. I'm going to make it happen. And she and Jane just did it. They jumped right in.
I love it.
Got their feet wet and figured it out.
I love it. And that's what we need, more of that, you know, because it starts to spread. And then you feel like, you know what? Okay, we didn't get the grant, but guess what? I'm still going to push forward, as she said, and I'm going to get things done. And you'd be surprised at what can actually happen. So,
yeah.
Wow. And that's what we're all about here, folks. I mean, if you got a message and you're willing to share it, whether it's about autism or homelessness or low income or underprivileged families and youth, come on the show. Talk to us and let us know how you are giving back to the community, what you're doing to raise awareness for causes that are important to you. It's important that you share your message and your dreams, because you never know who will grab a hand and help you down the road to succeeding. So this show is for you, so don't forget that. With that being said, we're going to transition to questions of the week. Each week, we ask you to send in questions, and you never disappoint. And let's get started right away with a question from Christine in Columbia, South Carolina. She wants to know, Tony, will you be doing any public speaking? Are you a public speaker? And how do you balance your work and spending quality time with your family?
Yeah, I actually do a lot of public speaking. I often will do keynote speeches for organizations. And I do a lot of just community service. So if people need training on a particular topic that I have knowledge in, I'm always willing to do that. And one of the neat things about balancing my work and my family life with that is I can sometimes involve the family. So, for example, my daughter has on occasion submitted applications to speak with me, so that we've done that together, which is really neat. So it becomes a family thing, and she's been able to talk about her challenges and how she's overcome them. Right, you know, standing up there next to me, my 7-year-old. Sometimes he'll, if I'm doing the training and I'm putting together training materials for that, he helps to collate. Like, you know, he'll help me punch holes and put them in binders. So I try to make it as much of a family process as possible. And I find that, you know, on those occasions when I travel to do like a keynote speech or train, that's really time that it really helps me to get that little break from the family and just have some me time. And then when I come back, you know, after having that break, I'm really, really appreciating, you know, the fact that I've missed my family and now I get to really focus on them. So it actually helps to balance things.
I love it.
What about you, Eli? I want to hear about your, I'll turn the question on you. You've been doing public speaking lately besides the show?
Well, I haven't recently. You know, growing up, I was always kind of hesitant to do that. But as I started to advocate and I've gotten older and being in the military, you know, I've kind of stepped to the forefront in speaking. And I love to do it because I feel like, you know, my message is all about inspiring the youth to get out there and be bold, you know. You know, I try to remind folks that it's okay to fall down and stumble. You don't, you know, being a public speaker isn't always about wording everything correctly or being perfect in your pitch. You're allowed to make mistakes and stumble and you know, I often tell people, you know, if you listen to Obama speak or give speeches as when he was president, you'll hear a lot of but it was him. He was doing himself. So I love to inspire the individual to take the risk, to get out on the stage and to let it come out naturally. And sometimes go off script. I know when I do talk to kids and adults about giving back, you know, I kind of shoot straight from the hip. I never write anything down. I kind of talk about past experiences and what it was like to fall down or what it was like to get laughed at when I got on stage to speak and I got a little nervous and I got a little tongue tied, but I finished and I felt better afterwards. And I learned a lot from that. And as far as, you know, spending quality time with the family, you know, I always say that it's 50-50 with me. I know how to separate the two, but as you do, I often kind of talk to my wife about some things and get a perspective from her, and it helps me if I need to maybe word something differently. You know, when I started my nonprofit, I would always make the mistake of saying it was a foundation, and she would kind of look up at me and say, "It's a nonprofit. You have to say nonprofit. It's not foundation."
That's great.
You know, yeah. So, you know, I would love to at some point, as I said, you know, in this summit that I'm trying to put together, have us all up on stage talking about how important it is to be bold and to give back and to define a a lasting impact that you have on the community. So
that's a great tagline. Be bold and give back.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, as I said, I throw things on the wall, and they don't always stick.
That one stuck.
But some things do, and I go with it. So that was a great question there from Christine and your neck of the woods, Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is from Richard in Miami, and he wants to know. Well, he says, Eli, I love the show. However, my question is about your golf game and about giving back. You said that you only play golf for your nonprofit and for autism. Is that completely true? Do you play it for selfish reasons? Be honest. Richard, that's a good question. And let me clarify, because I think a lot of people, I think it confuses a lot of people. I've played golf for selfish reasons because I love the game. And it's really the only thing that I can physically do at this point. You know, basketball is not good on my knees. Golf isn't really great on my back and my elbow. But I love the sport. And when I started to advocate for autism, I realized that I could play. And so I started to really connect the two. And it gave me more meaning when I was out playing golf to not just think about myself and because I could do it, I could, you know, kind of go out and just selfishly, you know, not think about anybody else who maybe didn't have the time to go out and play. So in thinking that way, I kind of said, you know, golf means something different to me now. Part of it is for me, but the other part is for moms and dads and individuals on the spectrum that can't get out and play for whatever reason. Maybe it's time. Maybe they love the game, but they don't. It drives them mad, like it does me from time to time when I'm out there playing. But I felt like I represent something bigger than myself now, and so if I'm going to go out and play tournament golf, it's gotta really mean something. Not winning, you know, because that's small, that's minor in the grand scheme of things. If I go out and play, and I make a connection with a dad out there or a mom who's watching, they see the bag, I feel like that's a win. Like I'm always winning. And so I would say, Richard, that maybe 70% of me playing is for kids and adults on the spectrum, for moms and dads who are so busy working around the clock, not just with their job, but coming home and taking care of their child, taking them to the doctor to be seen, getting services after graduation, you know, making sure that they don't fall through the cracks. So I feel like 70% of that is for them. The other 30%, and it shrinks every year. It feels like I'm playing for them every year. It goes up. But the 30%, I feel like it's just for me. It's therapeutic for me. It helps me deal with things that I struggle with in my life. It's a place of refuge, I guess you could say. I have time to think. I have time to go over things that I may have done wrong or approached wrong. I hope that answers your question, Richard. It's difficult to put into words, but I try to, you know, connect the two. I guess golf has changed me even more. It's got me to see a lot of things that I didn't always see when I was playing. So that was a pretty deep answer there. But I felt like, you know, a lot of fans and friends they get confused or don't understand why I mention that I play for autism and homelessness and low-income families. So that's the reason. So I hope that answers your question.
I think the greatest causes and the best progress that we make are when we combine what we personally and are passionately in love with a mission to make the world a better place. And that's really what we advocate. You know, Kathleen works with all these young adults on the spectrum. She's working with them to find a way to take whatever they're passionate about and have that be meaningful or have that be something that contributes to the world. So it's a beautiful thing when that can happen. And it's really unpleasant if you're stuck in a dead-end job that you don't like and
Right.
So if everybody could do what they love and contribute at the same time, it'd be a great thing.
Absolutely. 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 Now, my friend, what are you doing? Any plans this weekend? I mean, I know a nap's in the forecast, right? I mean, but
actually not this weekend. Not this weekend. Yeah. Well, actually, so I sent my youngest son and his dad off to Kentucky to surprise the grandparents this morning.
Wow.
And so, you know, again, that was a little, this is the first time he hasn't been with me, but I'm working and my daughter's working. So my daughter and I are going to actually take this week and spend a lot of really good quality time together because oftentimes the 7-year-old, my youngest, is in the picture, and then, you know, it's not that one-on-one time with Diana. So I'm planning on spending some really quality time with her for the holidays. And you, I know that know this is a hard time for you, but you have that great attitude. What are you doing special this week?
You know, absolutely, positively nothing.
Perfect.
I'm gonna spend some time with the little guy and the missus and continue to get the body in shape. I think I'm gonna continue to read more on things that are important to me in this world and continue that idea that I have to have this big, autism summit. You know, I really want to get back on that train and work on how I can make that happen. So my weekend will be filled with trying to figure out all of these ideas that I got running through my head right now of how I can make the world a better place and how can I inspire the next generation of youth. So I'll be working on ideas of how to get that done.
Oh, great. And doing absolutely nothing is a great idea. Sometimes we just need that. We just need to, to just take the time and just be. So
that we do.
Sometimes people lose sight of that. So good for you.
That we do. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the Elijah Winfrey Show. We wish you all a great weekend. Get out there in the community and make someone or something better. Enjoy your time with your family. I know Thanksgiving's coming up. We'd like to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. And we appreciate all the love and support that you show us on the show. And with that being said, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com.